We all need freshness in our life. There's some scriptures that God has made real to me. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The NLT version of that said, but forget all that, the past. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I am about to do a brand new thing. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness for my people to come home, and I'll create rivers for them in the desert. Going down to Ezekiel, the 11th chapter, verse 19, and I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them an heart of flesh. Now, the NLT version of that gives us this understanding, and I will give them singleness of heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take away their hearts of stone and give them tender hearts instead. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 through 28, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them, and you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. That sounds to me like a new spirit of revival. You know, one of the greatest enemies to revival is hardness of heart and a spirit that is not yielded and humbled before God. When our hearts are hard, we say, well, everybody else around here needs revival, but not me. That revival thing is good for those folks that, you know, that are really in bad shape spiritually. Let me tell you something. We need this every day of our life. I am more dependent on God today than I have ever been in my entire ministry and life. I realize more than ever before, as we've come through some great waters and deep waters, and I've seen God bring us through, and He always has brought us through, that if we keep our hearts right and if we keep our faith right, God will bring you through anything. God will absolutely bring you through anything. Many other verses that I could bring out, but let me give you two or three more. Some six times in the Psalms, it talks to us about singing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. Don't just turn on your radio and listen to any kind of a music that's going on. Get you a praise tape. Turn on that praise tape and praise the Lord and worship God. Someone said, well, I just like the beat. I don't listen to the words. Don't give me that. What you listen to, you become. Man, every once in a while I get caught in a business place, and when I listen, I said, I can't believe it. You mean people listen to this stuff? I don't care whether it's rock or pop or country western or whatever. Yeah, well, I just like the beat. Yeah, you like something else besides the beat too. And what you listen to, you become. It gets in your spirit. Man, you listen to I Can Do All Things Through Christ, and you won't go under. You'll go over. I mean, you get to rejoicing that the Lord is the strength of my life. You listen to music like you've heard here today, and I know there's different ways of singing it and saying it, but you listen to music that is in line with God's Word, and it'll keep your spirit alive. And if some of you parents have children walking around with headphones on, check on what they're listening to. Just because they're quiet doesn't mean they're listening to the right thing. CDs can be changed. Tapes can be changed. Radio stations can be changed. Know what your children are watching. Know what your children are listening to. Know beyond the shadow of a doubt. Someone said, well, I just don't know. It entertains you. It may entertain them, but you're going to bear the fruits if it's not the right thing. So these things are all in line. Sing unto the Lord a new song, not a sad song, not a blues song, not a she done me wrong song, not a bad luck song. Sing unto the Lord a new song. Oh, and He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. It just, oh, some wonderful things here in the Psalms. A new song, a new song, a new song, a new song. Oh, I just want, you say, you mean a song I've never sung before? No, it means a song that's new to this world system. It may be a new song, but it's a song this world system doesn't sing, but we sing it. Proverbs 3:10 said, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. New wine. Oh, that's so powerful. And there's some other verses that we could go to, but we'll get to those later. But I do want to go to 2 Corinthians 5th chapter, verse 17. Where the word of God said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. If anyone's born again, you're brand new. You may be a little rough around the edges, but you're born again. May take a little while to get some things in line, but you're born again. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. That means your past is past. If you want to meditate on it, chew on it, massage it, think about it, sing about it, whine and groan about it, that's your problem. But as far as God's concerned, we remember things that God has forgotten. How dare we remember what God's forgotten? We get this thing in reverse. We remember what God's forgotten and forget what God says to remember. I want to remember that I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are in the process of becoming new. It doesn't happen overnight, but it does happen. Sometimes we don't have enough patience with folks in the process of being a brand new believer. Hey, cut a little slack. Remember yourself. Someone had mercy and grace on you. And remember that. Old things are passed away. And where we are, where you say, Pastor, you've been in the ministry for several years. Yeah, but where I am is where you are. All things are still becoming new. I'm learning every day. I'm reading the Word of God every day. I think we read about 10 chapters today. That's no big deal. But I'll tell you what, it sure blessed me just to read the Word of God. Read the Word of God. You read the Word of God and you'll be more than a conqueror. You read the Word of man and you'll be under the barrel. You know, even the Lord's Supper is the New Testament of my blood. The Bible said new wine must be put into new bottles and both are preserved. You know, Calvary Cathedral is kind of like a freight train. You don't just bop in, get a little dab to do you, and go on down the road. What, you know, a freight train is the car behind it and the car in front of it, and then there's a power that's pulling all that train. Man, you missed two or three times around here. You come here and say, what in the world's happening around here? Because this train is moving on. This plane is leaving the runway. And there's times you can't. We do understand that. But I mean, everything builds on something else. We're in the process of all things new. I was upstairs studying and I heard a little voice down in the yard right there by the window. Looked down and there was Joy and she had a little dog out in the backyard and she was trying to tell me something. And she was trying to say, read my lips. And I finally figured that out. And what she was trying to say was, it's a new day, Bob. It's a new day. And I said, I forgot to give you a thumbs up, but I was in my heart. It's a new day. It's not an old day. It's not business as usual. I don't care how good or how sad your story's been. Hey, it's a new day. It is a new day. It's a new day. All the victories that you've been through, praise God for them. All the trying times you've been through. Sorry about that. We could all stop and have a few moments of handkerchief and tears and so on. But it's a new day. I don't understand everything that's happened in me and don't understand everything that's happened in you. But the one that we serve has got it all figured out. And I'm going to tell you, even when it looks like we're losing, we're on the verge of winning as we've never won before. I mean, when it looks like everything's coming against us, we're on the verge of some of the greatest victories that God has ever given to us. Get a hold of it, saints. It's a new day. Well, my husband sure... No, you need it, honey. Well, my wife sure... No, you need that. We all need that. It's a new day. Thursday night, we were just pulling up to the church for service and got a phone call. And we had several people ask us about it, so I'll tell you about it real quickly. But our Janet came under attack. And this, you know, this is a surprise because the doctors are amazed at her progress. They're amazed at how well she... They said she is so healthy, and the doctors just have nothing but high praise. But her blood pressure dropped, and she fainted, and there were some other things that you just don't ignore. And so they called 911. So I got Joy. We went back home. I know you prayed here. And you know, while you were praying, God did something. If my name was Peter and I was ever thrown in prison, I'd want to be just like it was in the book of Acts. Peter was put in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. You prayed. And as I was following the MedStar ambulance to the hospital, I'm human. Oh, yeah, I'm human. And there was some stuff going on in my spirit. And I said, God, what about this? And God says, not as before. Not as before. I said, thank you, sir. Not as before. That's not just for Bob Nichols. That's for you and you and you and you. The devil comes and says, it's going to get worse. It's going to be different. Oh, the word of God says, it's not as it was before. Not as before. You remember David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, go for it. And he went out and just killed all the enemies. And the next time the enemy came in, he's ready to do the same thing like most of us would be. But God said, no, you're not going to do it that way this time. You're going to go around behind, and you're going to wait for leaves to blow in a tree. You mean God wants me to be a tree hugger? Well, on that occasion, yes. Can't you see a soldier with his breastplate and his armor? And I mean, there they are standing there like little children waiting for the leaves to blow on the tree. I don't think they were very happy about that, but they obeyed David. And, you know, really the wind blowing in the trees, some translations say that until you hear the marching of feet, well, that would work too with angels coming and angels marching. But what the whole thing was about, wait until you hear the wind of the Holy Spirit. Wait until the Holy Spirit wind blows. Don't just run off and do something. Wait until you sense the wind of the Spirit. Wait until you're led by the Spirit of God, that you know, that you know, that you know, that you know that this is the direction that God would have for you to go. So what God's talking about is all things new. I said all things new. You know what part of what God's will is? God has a new marriage for you, not a new partner, a new marriage. Be far less divorces if partners sometimes would change. But all things new, all things new. I am consumed with this thing, all things new. You may have known God for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 4 years. You may have preached over a few years. I've preached a few years. But there's a new expectancy in my heart. All things new. All things new. And I'm going to preach this until we have an all new church, because you have an all new pastor. And I'm doing my best to be an all-new pastor. And I want to pastor all-new people. I don't mean a different crowd. I mean a crowd that is revived by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Well, Brother Nichols, you can't teach old dogs new tricks. We're not old dogs. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. We're not old dogs. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. What does God have in mind for us? Oh, I tell you, only God, out of a tragedy, could bring two churches together. And each of us would be the Egyptian in the field for the other one. We can see that now. Each of us was the ram in the thicket for the other one. And it's great for them and it's great for us. Only God could do that. Man can't do that. My head's still spinning. I mean, from a Wednesday until a Friday. I mean, just hours, and this thing fell into place. And we realized that God had a miracle in motion. God has a new marriage, a new heart, a new spirit. Did you ever hear someone say, boy, they sure had a change of heart? They got that right. You know, so-and-so really had a change. That's what we need, a change of heart. You can't see it anyway, but this way, it's my way or highway. Leave me alone. But when God gives you a change of heart, you begin to love as you've never loved before. You begin to show grace like you've never shown grace before. I tell you, when our child was in the hospital for some almost 3 months, you talk about mercy and grace. Man, there's a lot of things. I looked at a lot of things different. You don't know what's going on in someone else's heart. You don't know what's going on in someone else's life. It's so easy to judge until you've been there, until you sit where they sat. It's easy. I can't help everything that happens in people's lives. And sometimes we have to preach like you think, well, does he have any mercy in that way? Oh, dear God, there's plenty of mercy in this house. We're just trying to pull for things not to go in the wrong direction. But if in spite of everything, the train's off the track, God's mercy is there, God's compassion is there, and God will see you through. And there is life after tragedy, and there is life after heartache, and there's life after someone who just can't get their head together. There's life. Boy, there's a lot of parents that need a new heart towards their children, and there's a lot of children that need a new heart towards their parents. There's a lot of ministers that need new hearts toward the ministry, and vice versa, a new love for God. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. A new singleness of heart, a new spirit, a new wineskin. Three times in three different gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it talks about a new wineskin. You know, how can people hear the answer to what they talk to you about 2 hours, and you preach a message, or a visiting minister comes in and preaches a message, I mean just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and you get a call on Monday morning, duh. Folks, we got to hear what's being preached. We must hear what is being taught. What is being preached and what is being taught can change your life, but you've got to cooperate with that. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but you've got to act in faith on what you hear. It's so important to hear. And then there's a new vision. Without a vision, people perish. God said Calvary Cathedral International is going to have a stronger vision than it's ever had before. Folks, we got to see the big picture. Dry your tears, honey. Put your handkerchief up. Blink your eyes and look upon the fields that are whitened unto harvest. Our opportunity is greater now than it ever could have been. That's a hard thing for me to say. I wouldn't have said that 30 days ago. That's a hard thing to say. I may be slow getting it, but when God gives it to me, I've got it. God said you can do more for the kingdom, more for missions, more for the work of God. You can do more for the city. You can see a greater move and a greater spirit of revival where you are than you would have otherwise. And I thank God for that. A new vision, a new joy. Not just going to church, but the joy of the Lord is your strength. A new song, a new sharp threshing instrument having teeth, Isaiah 41:15. I mean, the list just goes on. I want to be a better husband than I've ever been before. You know, you get married and sometimes you don't have enough sense to walk in out of the rain. You've got to live a little while to get your head straight sometimes. But oh, it's so important that we love our companions. And I'll tell you, ladies, let me tell you something about your man. I mean, he may be a case. He may be a piece of work. You start complimenting that character. Tell him how good he does things. Compliment him on how he changes the oil, even if he gets a little bit of oil on his t-shirt, you know. Just tell him how much you appreciate having a husband. If he's born again, a man of God. I tell you, you compliment us and we'll break our neck trying to do something good for you. But you say, well, there you go again. You just broke. How many wrenches has that you broken lately? Seemed like everything you touch falls apart. Now, if you'd like brother so-and-so in the church, he can fix faucets, he can fix motors, he can fix... Watch it. Yeah, and he may fix everything but him. Hey, none of us are perfect. There's not a such a thing as a perfect wife, though I think I've got one that's just about as close as I can be. But there's no such thing as a real perfect wife or a real perfect husband. In all ways, we offend somewhere. We all have different talents and abilities. But find those strong points of your husband, lady, and start complimenting those. Leave him little notes. Tell him you love him. Slip up on him and put a bear hug on him. Boy, honey, you sure know how to fix a car. I'm telling you what. And the same thing with your wife. It's amazing. Some people are nicer to waitresses than they are to their own wife. Some people tip a waitress better than they tip their wife. Oh, you turn on the charm. Oh, you wait on our table so good. And you just flash a little extra money there and walk out feeling like a big shot. And you get home and she says, honey, could I have five? I'd really... What'd you do with that last five I gave you last month? What do you mean shoes? You got a closet full of shoes. Much may not be happening, but you compliment what if much is happening and more will start happening. First of all, they'll faint without a catcher, but they'll revive and things will get better. Praise the Lord. Greater revival, better finances, better health, healing, stronger prayers. Our outreaches are going to be stronger. Our mission work is going to be stronger. All things are new. And if God's bringing newness into the church, then God's bringing newness into me. And if God's bringing newness into my life, God's going to bring newness into your life. I said, oh, Brother Nichols, you know, boy, the best husband in the world. I wish he got away. You don't know what that guy was. He might have been a total disaster. God probably delivered you. Many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Sometimes that man or that woman you thought you couldn't live without, you couldn't live with them. Newness. Newness. Brand new. Brand new. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. We're not old dogs. The best days of our ministry are yet to be lived. The best days of television, Christian television. We need Christian television more today than we've ever needed it. Oh, we need the things of God. We need churches where you can hear the truth. This choir is not singing to entertain you. They're singing to touch you and bless you and minister to you. We're not looking for entertainment. We're looking for something that feeds us and helps us and challenges us. Man, I just can't help but sing with this choir when they're singing. The Lord is the strength of my life. I just want to get up and say, yeah, right on. Woo-hoo, the Lord is the strength of my life. Folks, there's something to shout about in this church. I said there's something to shout about in this church. Every day in this city and every city there's funerals. Some are paupers' funerals with a pauper's casket and a pauper's grave. And others are very magnanimous. I mean, splendor that you don't even know where it comes from. But there's one thing when it's all said and done, where are you going to spend eternity? There are churches that claim to be full gospel charismatic. I've had people come to this church and say, thank God there's finally a church that gives people an opportunity to come to Jesus. And if nobody comes, we gave them the effort. We gave them the opportunity. We open this altar and we receive who comes in. And I'll tell you, the greatest thing we can do is remember we live in a world that's on edge. And you never know. Turn with me to Luke, the 14th chapter. I, in my life, have read the Bible through so many times. And this portion of God's word, I've never been conscious of what I'm seeing. Listen to me carefully. Luke, the 14th chapter. And I think you're getting the drift while you're turning. Folks, it's time for us to be new parents, new husbands, new wives. Young people, show the love of Christ. Every young man ought to respect a young lady like you'd want someone to respect your wife of the future. Boy, my parents became so much wiser after I got married. Oh, my parents increased in wisdom. And I realized they were looking out for my good. At times I thought they were just on my case. They were just riding me. But I realized that they saw things that I didn't see. And man, I tell you, when I walked in, I remember Dad and Mom's house, the first time they had a big two-story house. I walked through turning all the lights out. Just unconsciously. See, I was paying the light bill now. And Dad said, son, you found out where the light bill. Found out about the light bill, didn't you? I said, yes, sir, I did. Man, I never thought about turning a light off. The brighter, the better, you know. I mean, I went through the entire house just, so I can't believe we left these lights on, just turning the lights off. Makes all the difference where you place the emphasis. And if you children have parents that are on your case, thank God you have parents that care. Thank God somebody cares. We don't think how many people that have not had somebody to love them. Now let's look at the 14th chapter of Luke. Came to pass as Jesus went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, and they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spoke unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Ah, Jesus, the ignorance of religion. And they held their peace, thank God. Watch it. Luke chapter 14, verse 4. Are you ready for this? And he took him and healed him and let him go. He took him. One translation said he touched him. Another translation said he embraced him. He took him and he healed him. And now he's ready to go into society. When we touch people, are they less or are they more? Is their bondage compounded or did we set them free? He touched them. He touched him and he healed him. Let him go. He's ready now to be a productive citizen in life. Boy, think about that. All these Pharisees, all this religious stuff, no one really knows what time of day it is. All they can think about is how can we catch him and put him on a cross. And finally, they held their peace, thank God. And Jesus took this man that had the dropsy and healed him and let him go. That's what the children's ministry is all about. We live in a world that's so warped, you have to watch how you touch and what you do. I mean, folks, we live in a weird world. We all have to use wisdom. But Jesus embraced this man. And when Jesus got through embracing the man said, I'm healed. And he went back into society. I've been looking for a little book that's out of print. And I opened something and it just fell out this morning. I said, where has this thing been? The cover's gone even. And I read a story. I opened it up and I read a story. It was about Jack Coe, evangelist Jack Coe. He's been with the Lord for a number of years. He had an orphanage at one time somewhere in the Waxahachie area. I remember seeing that. And he was a big guy. Man, he was big. He ate a lot, preached a lot, filled up tents of 10,000 people, saw a lot of signs, wonders, and miracles, died too young. But a little boy came up to him after church one night, ragged. He'd been passed from relative to relative to relative to relative. And the little boy came up and said, Brother Coe, could you take me to your orphanage? Could I live in your orphanage? And Brother Coe said, okay, son, I'll pick you up tomorrow. So he personally went and picked the young boy up. You had to take him for a medical examination, as you would today, because if something's wrong with him, you can't. You understand that, that's self-explanatory. So here's this big frame of a guy takes this little guy out, buys him new clothes and several changes of clothes. Man, this little guy is just overwhelmed. And they go to the doctor. He's dressed up like he's never been dressed up before. He's got him some new shoes, new clothes and shirt and so on. It's cold outside and got him a coat. He didn't even have a coat. And the doctor came out and said, Reverend Coe, you can't take this boy into your orphanage. Said he has a skin disease, and we of the medical profession know it's not curable. This child would infect the entire orphanage. And I'm so sorry. And the little boy looked up at Jack Coe, and he said, well, do I have to give my clothes back too? You think you got it hard? You know, if somebody hurts our feelings, we think we've had a terrible, terrible day. Do I have to give my clothes back? He said, this is the first coat I've ever had. It's so cold outside. And Jack Coe, though he preached hard, he was a hard preacher, put his arms around that little guy, bent over and just embraced him. He didn't even think about the skin disease. And of course, then when he looked at him, he realized there was obviously something wrong with the little guy. And he held him and he wept and he prayed for him. He was just crying out, God, what is the answer to this little guy? And finally, when he let him go, the doctor looked and said, it's all gone. It's all gone. It's all gone. The skin, and the doctor re-examined him, took the little clothes away to where he could see, and said, he's cured. I don't understand it. And he got to go to the orphanage. Church, listen to me today. That's the kind of church I want to pastor. And I do pastor. To help the up and out as well as the down and out. Hey, you can be hurting with a $600 suit. Or you can be hurting in a pair of worn out jeans. There's so many people that appreciate a handshake and a smile and a be encouraged and a God bless you. There's dogs that bite, but there's dogs that wag their tail. I mean, there's some dogs, they look so nice, but you put out your hand and you bring back two fingers less. But there's other dogs, you pet them, and I'll tell you, the more you pet them, the more their little old tail wags. Oh, folks, let's find some folks that need some love, need some healing, that need some encouragement, that need some help. Let's find some folks that life has been hard. I've heard every story I think you can hear, but I'm still overwhelmed at what some people have come through before they ever got here. I'm so glad I don't pastor a religious country club. I'm so glad I don't pastor a church that's touched me not. But oh, thank God, he took him and he embraced him. And just like Jesus in the 14th chapter of Luke's gospel, when he let the little guy go, he could keep his clothes. He had a place to live. He had somebody to love him. And that's what the story of the gospel is all about. Lift your hands and praise the Lord.